the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Atur, and the church chose for us the passage of the rich young ruler, how he came to the Lord and asked him how he can inherit eternal life. And the Lord responded and told him, you know the commandments. They're written in the Old Testament and you know them by heart. And the man responded and told him, I've done these things from my youth. And then the Lord told him, but one thing you lack. And it says first that he loved him, and then one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, and take up the cross and follow me. A couple of weeks ago, we began speaking about the fear of God. And we were saying that Saint Basil was saying that there are three types of fear. Those who fear God because they fear going to hell. And they said the second type were those who fear God to receive a reward from him. And those who obey God or fear God because they love him. I think this rich young ruler is a good example of the second sort, where he loves God because of the reward he wants to get from him. He wants eternal life as a possession. But then when Christ posed him, I'll trade you possessions. I'll trade you your money for eternal life. He wasn't able to do it. Not very often is a person's wealth or money given in exchange completely for something. For example, if I'm going to buy an expensive car, I'm going to buy the expensive car, but it's not going to make me bankrupt. It's not going to take away from me the ability to make more money, right? But when Christ asked him, you know, to go and sell what you have and follow me and take up your cross, he's asking for that exchange from him, so that now his desire becomes no longer in the money, but in Christ. So I think his fear of God was of the second sort, because he wanted to possess something, and that something, albeit being good, the eternal life, but he was saddened because he loved the money more than the Lord himself. So we said, just to kind of reiterate what I said a few weeks ago and to refresh our memory, that these were the three types of fear of God that St. Basil spoke about. And then St. Dorotheos of Gaza kind of classified them into two. The beginners, which fear God because they're afraid of a punishment. And those who fear God because they love him and seek to do his will. And we said that a couple weeks ago that we ought to fear God. We ought to fear God. And this was maybe the beginning, the baby steps, right? Just as a parent, you know, maybe when the child is very young, they have to fear you, so they listen to you. And sometimes that requires us to be firm with them, maybe to raise our voice and so on. So they fear and they understand that our parents or my parents are in control and I'm subordinate, you know, to them at this point in my life. So we ought to fear God, and this is the beginning step. And we said a few weeks ago, there are a few reasons. We've said we should fear God for his majesty, his glory, and his power. We should fear his authority over our souls, because he's the one that has the keys to our souls, whether to put us in paradise or Hades. We should fear coming up short in our life, not finishing until the end. We should fear being a stumbling block to those who are around us. And we should fear the broad way, because it says, Christ told us that most of the people will go through the broad way. And then we should fear being self-approved, meaning measuring myself by myself. So there's grounds for us to really fear. But today, as I said before, this was just the beginning step. I don't think this is where Christ wants us to stay. Just like any wise and loving parent would not want their adult child to fear them and be scared of them and listen to them because they're scared of them. And if I am of that sort, be very careful, because these are usually the types of parents, or I'm the type of person that is controlling. If I want my adult child to fear me and be scared of me, then perhaps I need to look at myself and say, maybe I'm a controlling person. I'm trying to make this person listen to me out of fear because I want control. God is not like that, my beloved. If you remember in the passage of the Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were with Christ on the mountain, and Christ transfigured before them, and when they saw this, his majesty and his glory, they fell down and worshipped him, and the Bible says that they were scared. They were scared, right? And rightfully so, before his majesty, as we said before. But then what did Christ do immediately after? St. Matthew tells us, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. Christ wants to take us from the next level, from being afraid of him to obeying him and fearing him because we love him. So that's what I'd like to speak about this morning, is those who fear God, they have a certain characteristic, they have a certain aura. You'll find certain qualities that is consistent with those who fear God out of love. I'll speak only about four of them. The first is those who fear God out of love, they fear upsetting him because of their love for him. They fear upsetting him. They fear that when I upset him, this breaks the unity and the bond of love between us. And this is what I cherish so much. So I fear this being broken. Listen to what St. Clement of Alexandria says. He says, there's a twofold species of fear. The first kind is accompanied with reverence. So says the first and better kind of fear is accompanied with reverence. This is the type of fear that citizens show towards good rulers and that we show towards God. Right-minded children show this fear towards their fathers. So he says, there's one kind of good fear, and that's accompanied with reverence. And he gave the example as citizens show towards good rulers. Why do we love good rulers, and why do we fear them? Because they have our well-being in the interest, and they have our well-being is their interest, right? If anybody shows genuine interest in you and your growth and success, we will tend to love them, right? Even if they're our boss at work, if they're interested, or even if it's me, if I'm the boss, if I can show the people who work for me that I'm interested in their growth and their development and so on, they will love you and they'll obey you and fear you, not because they're scared, because they know that you love them and you know that you have the best interest at heart for them. So this is the first type, he says. And then he says, the other kind of fear is accompanied with hatred. The other kind of fear is accompanied with hatred. This is the type of fear that slaves feel towards harsh masters and that the Hebrews felt. For they made God a master and not a father. Here St. Clement is speaking about the Jews at the time of Christ and even in the Old Testament. When God gave them the commandment, they looked at him as being a master, a taskmaster. Do this, do this, do this. If you don't, then this. But this is not really how God was. Even if you look in the Old Testament, this is not how God was. He was patient with the Canaanites for 400 years. How often did Israel go away from his command? But he was still patient with them, right? Even when he speaks about their destruction in Isaiah, and he always speaks about now, there's a holy remnant. And how he mentions that his hand is still stretched out towards them, regardless of their disobedience. So this was not his idea. So Christ, when he came, he wanted to adjust their understanding of this. I want you to look at me not as a master, but as a father. If you remember in one passage, he told them, if a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So he's telling them, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? So he says, we do the same thing with our children, right? When they ask for bread, we don't give them a stone because we love them. So he wanted them to look at him as a father. That's why when the disciples came and asked the Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. What was the first thing he said to them? I want you to address God as what? As our Father. Our Father. Communal. We are his children. He wants us to look at him as a father. Not the type of fear that's accompanied with hatred, but that which is accompanied with reverence. The Jews at the time of Christ looked at Christ and they feared him because they hated him. It was accompanied with hatred. It says about the Jews that they hated Christ. In John 11, he says to us that the high priest at the time, Caiaphas, he said, it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. So they feared Christ to take away their authority, to take away their livelihood. They feared him because he was a threat to what they thought was the nation. But in actuality, it was their authority and their position. They followed Christ, those who accused him, they followed him to accuse him and to try to capture him in a word. They tried to accuse him of casting out demons by Beelzebub. That's why they followed him. They followed him to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. They followed him trying to accuse him of blasphemy. So they feared him and followed him not because of reverence, but as actually accompanied with hatred. So those who fear God out of love fear upsetting him because of their love for him. Number two is those who fear God out of love are careful to observe his commandments. They're careful to observe his commandments. The scholar Tertullian says, where the fear of God is, there is seriousness and an honorable and yet thoughtful diligence. So he says, where the fear of God is, there's a certain diligence that accompanies that regarding the commandments of God. And my beloved, when it comes to those in the society that we fear, we obey them and we obey them blindly. For example, if there are certain people that are distinguished and respected in a certain profession, in a particular field, we respect them and we obey them without thinking of it. If I'm in need of a particular surgery and I go to a specialist in this kind of surgery, we will listen to them regardless of what they say because of their expertise, right? Because we fear them. We understand that they understand and we will listen to them blindly. An engineer, when they come and say, I suggest that this structure is made like this and not like this because this could be dangerous, we fear, you know, what he says and we listen to him and obey him because we fear him. He understands a little bit more than I do. Those who fear God will abide by his commandments and they're careful to observe them. If you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came to Lot and told them and warned them that God is going to destroy this city. So Lot gathered his children and said, you know what? The angels came and told us that God's going to destroy the city. We need to get out of here. So then when he went to his son-in-laws and told them, what was their response? Listen to what the Bible says. This is in Genesis 19:14. He says, so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They took it as a joke. They didn't fear Lot. They didn't recognize that this was a righteous man and that perhaps God had told them something, and they observed in the city all of the atrocities that were going on and said, perhaps he's telling the truth. But they thought he was joking, right? Our obedience will tell us whether we fear God or not, right? Abu Ninan always kind of gives this example. It's a really nice example. If I were to say there's a fire in the church, God forbid, I need everybody to get up and leave. Those who believe me and fear me will get up and leave. Those who say Abuna is crazy, this is maybe a fire drill, I would just sit here, you know, bin yustur, right? Our actions will tell us whether we fear God or we don't fear God. So those who fear God out of love are careful to observe His commandments. Also, those who fear God are on the path of wisdom. Are on the path of wisdom. And God knows, myself being the first, I need wisdom. Those who fear God are on the path to wisdom. Many places in the Bible it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So wisdom is this spirit of discernment that we get from God. The ability not just to know the difference between right and wrong, but the difference in priority, what goes first and what goes second. The difference between what is essential and what is indifferent or what is not necessary. The wisdom to know what is permanent and what is transient. And this wisdom, I think, is the wisdom we need most of all. For us to consider the things in my life that are transient, that will pass away, and those things that are permanent that I need to invest in, like our own salvation. This is the wisdom that we all need. In the book of Job, it also says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." To depart from evil is understanding and wisdom. So actually departing from evil is a wisdom that we all need. And we gain that by fearing God out of love. We need to depart evil physically. We need to be able to depart evil socially. If I'm hanging around a wrong group of people that is influencing me and encouraging me to go to unsuitable places, I need to be able to filter that out. I need the wisdom to be able to tell them, no, I'm sorry, I can't join you in this place. We also need to depart from evil mentally. The thoughts that I have, right? We all need this kind of wisdom, and it comes from the fear of God and fearing Him out of love for Him. Also, those who fear God out of love, they persuade others. Listen to what St. Paul says. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." How do we persuade people about God and our Christianity? By fearing Him. Can be one of two ways. The first way is by knowing that we will stand one day before a judge and will give an account to every deed that we did and every word that we said. Sometimes sharing this part of Scripture and sharing this with others, that one day we will give an account for everything we did, this could lead somebody to begin to think. And then when they think, they said, you know what, I need to consider this. So we can follow a process. We'll ask ourselves, or we can ask others, why were you created? Why did God create you and I? What makes us different than all the other animals? And why are we far superior than any other animal? Certainly we're different, and certainly for a reason. What is that reason? We're created in the image and likeness of God. And if we are created by God for good reason, certainly I'll have to answer to Him in one day. Why do you think atheists choose to be atheists? Because it will get rid of this in their mind that I don't have to answer to anybody. I only answer and govern myself. But this is not the reality, and this is not what the natural world teaches us, right? We can't get something out of nothing. So when we see the, and so that's the first, just fearing God that one day we'll be faced with facing Him and have to give an account for everything we say and do. The other type we can persuade people is by persuading them when they see the fear of God within us, right? When they see the fear of God within us, this can persuade them of Christ, right? By our love for one another, they'll realize the God of love. When we obey those hard commandments, like bless those who curse you, because this is not natural. This is not what we see in the world. This is only in Christianity. So when we can fear God and do these things, the people will say, this person is an amazing person because he fears God. He can bless those who curse him. The martyrs, for example, They feared God to the extent and loved Him so much they're willing to give His life for them. And this was the catalyst in early Christianity. It wasn't preaching. It was the fact that people were willing to give their life for their Lord. This is what made Christianity flourish in the early age. So when we fear God out of love, we persuade others as well. It's a type of preaching. Lastly, when we fear God, we do not fear men. When we fear God out of love, we don't fear men. We don't fear anybody else. In the Psalms, it says what? The angel of the Lord is encamped round about those who fear Him, and He delivers them. And delivers them. So we know that the angel of the Lord is surrounding us and protecting us because we fear and love Him. And if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Right? If you remember St. John the Baptist, right? This is very humble, dressed very raggedy, very poor, lived in the wilderness. But he was very courageous. To the point when he would come to King Herod, the king, who had everything under, back then the king wasn't like the president. The king was the lawgiver, the lawmaker, you know? Nowadays, on our dollar bills, we have different presidents from time past. But back then, the currency always has the current king to tell the people what? That all your money belongs to what? Is mine, right? So they had absolute authority and power. But when Herod faced John the Baptist, the Bible tells us that he feared him. He was scared of him. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man. So because John the Baptist feared God out of love and obeyed him, this struck fear in others of John, even the king. And this is, okay, we might say, okay, this is John, he was an adult and everything. But how about consider the three holy youth, right? And Herod knew something about Judaism. But King Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan, and all he was worried about was his throne and his authority. So, and then we made this big statue for the people of Israel to worship. And the only ones that didn't worship were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And then this infuriated him. And the people told him, he brought them to him and says, you bow down and worship this idol when the music plays, or else you're going to be thrown in the fire. And you know what they told him? With all courage, listen to what they said to him. O Nebuchadnezzar, and mind you, these are youth, 17, 18, 16, around this age. Let's ask ourselves if I have this courage as an adult, right? We can't even, you know, say something right to a friend, much less a king. Listen to what they say. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. How are they sure that God's going to deliver them? How are they sure? Either God will deliver them as miraculously, as we saw, or God will allow them to their life to be taken. And either way, they're going to be delivered from who? From Nebuchadnezzar. This man has no authority and power over me. I have no need to fear him, because he has no power or authority over me. And they continue and say, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. I can imagine this king, you know, in the cartoons when somebody's shocked, they have that little jaw-drop motion. I'm sure that the king was stunned that these kids are telling him this. And that he has made him even more furious. These are just slaves that we got from Judah and from Israel, and now they're telling me this. Turn the heat up 7 times hotter. And they did. And at the end of the story, who feared who? It was Nebuchadnezzar who feared the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he elevated them to the highest positions. So who feared who? When we fear God out of love, we will not fear anybody else. Anybody else. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Fearing God is a quality shared by all righteous young men and women. And it is the fountain that gave birth to the life of, it was the fountain that gave life to their virtues and holy living. Let us consider our fear of God and ask ourselves, do I fear God? I can answer and say, very little, and I don't even have him in mind. To them I might respond and say, we will face the judge one day, and we need to consider this fact. If I ask myself and consider my fear and say, I fear God because I don't want to go to hell. It's a bad place, it's horrible, I don't want to go there. To those I say, consider God's fatherly love. Consider his love. We shouldn't fear our parents because we don't want them to punish us, right? And any father or mother, we don't want this for our children either. And if I fear God because I want a reward, to those I say, be assured there will be a reward, but keep in mind the greater reward is eternal. Let's not focus on the reward that I'll get here, because God is interested in rewarding us with the heavenly crown, with something that is not perishable, but is eternal. And that's what he's concerned about. So if I fear him for reward, let's just turn this, our focus from the earthly reward to the heavenly reward, and invest in those heavenly treasures that can't be corrupted. And to those who fear God out of love, continue in this beautiful communion of love with him. And we said, just to recap, that those who fear God out of love, they fear upsetting him, out of their love for him. They're careful to observe his commandments. They are on the path of wisdom. They persuade others, and they don't fear men. May God grant us to elevate from one fear to the other. Not like the rich young ruler who was stuck at fearing God because he wanted a reward, but to fear God out of love for him, and fearing him because we don't want this unity between him and I to be broken. And if this is how I conduct my life, you're on the right track. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.